The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
You see what happened to the North Carolina State baseball team at the College World Series. And we had talked about them the other day when they were down to 13 and lost that game. And the NCAA basically said, sorry, man, this is a no contest. You're out.
I didn't like it. I don't like that one bit. If that were the championship round, would they have done the same? I don't think they would have.
Yeah, I think they should have pushed it back at least a day to have the contact trace people tested. You're going to push a game back for a rainstorm, but you're not going to do it for this?
At this point, should the Texans even want to win? I wouldn't if I were the Texans. I mean, to me, there's nothing better to build around than the first pick.
If they can get it right.
If they can get it right.
And that's the thing. And because we don't know what it's going to be next year. And to me, there are some interesting things about this. Like, I'm curious about Davis Mills simply because there's such a small sample size. Maybe he's really, really good. Maybe they actually did something right there. I don't give him a high percentage.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 703-780-ESPN's your number, 703-780-3776, or get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. Twitter's at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Watch us on Twitch. Know the number for that. Missed the first 2 hours? Some of what you missed. All will be available on ESPN975.com. And, lots of fun stuff. And just somebody said, I find it difficult to know what media source to trust, giving me all the info I need to make an informed decision, and most are skewed so much to the left or right. Yeah, that's part of the problem. That's why you shouldn't blindly believe any of them. That's all. You can believe me. I'm not going to lie to you. So, a couple things. Did you see that you want the good news or you want the weird news?
Give me the weird news first.
Mike Ditka is kind of losing it a little bit. I think we know that. So they're actually, the Bears are talking about moving to a stadium where Arlington Racecourse was, or still is, but they're going to tear it down. And Mike Ditka is against that. He says, Chicago Bears belong in the city of Chicago. That's it. Call me an old timer, call me a traditionalist, whatever. They're a Chicago institution, and that should be the end of it.
How far out of town is this racetrack?
It's a train ride. I mean, I would say it's the same as if we moved the Texans to Sugar Land.
Mm. I'm not big on suburban stadiums, but I mean, the Giants and Jets play in New Jersey because that's where there's room for it.
I mean, the Bears are going to be the Bears.
Yeah.
But he says
it's not like they're going to change their name to the Arlington Bears or the Illinois Bears. They'll still be the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if it's that far. It's been a long time since I've been to Arlington, which was one of the nicest racetracks I've ever been to. But they're considering buying that. But he's not done. Just like the Bears belong in Chicago, like Coach Hallis had it, Arlington Park should remain a racetrack. It's a gem, a thing of beauty. Arlington Heights is known around the world because of that racetrack. Racetrack in Arlington Heights, Bears in Chicago, that's the end of it.
Okay.
The problem is, and that's prime real estate. Horse racing is, I think you're going to see more and more of this. Yeah, it's a beautiful track. And
it's almost 39 miles.
Okay, so that's farther than Sugar
Land. That's a good haul.
Yeah, that's almost the Woodlands.
Yeah. That's further than the Woodlands.
Yeah, I guess it is.
That's like setting up in Huntsville, isn't it?
It is 35 miles from my door to here in League City.
Okay, so League City.
So it's a little bit further than League City. It's basically Kima.
That's too far.
Yeah.
It's like one, like, I don't know, what the football team plays in Landover, which I think is like 5 or 6 miles from DC. Like that's reasonable, you know. Like even New Jersey, Rutherford is I think it's like 10 miles. 45 miles is a long haul.
Yeah, although the one big difference there is that you got lots of trains that get you there in Chicago, so it's not as damning as it is here. You just get on the damn train. But yeah, although
Foxborough is 35 miles, or like it's like 30 miles from Boston.
Yeah, but they're the New England Patriots. They're not the Boston Patriots.
Yeah,
they represent all those places up there. But
Brockton and Worcester.
Worcester. Rhode Island even is right. New Hampshire,
I
all
don't
that.
Know. I don't know.
They get all that. But and then the last one, which I agree with, says he'd be extremely disappointed if they built a stadium with a roof. Says, you want to tell me that a team coming up from a warm weather climate isn't giving away a significant advantage to try and play in the cold and rain outside in Chicago in December or January? You can't practice for that kind of weather. You can't simulate it. You got to be in it. Chicago Bears football weather is a great part of the team's legacy, and all of that legacy in Chicago in my life has been outdoors.
Okay. I mean, I don't really care if football's played indoors or outdoors.
I actually like...
If you're a team who plays all your home games in a dome, you have your own advantages. Like, you build your team to your stadium, and that's... If you're smart, you build your team to your stadium. So, that...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't have a problem with... I mean, I kind of like outdoor football. I always have.
I like outdoor baseball until the weather sucks.
Well, but that's the thing. Outdoor football, it's not going to be as bad as often. Although down here, I mean, I've sat in games in Rice Stadium and UH when it's 102 degrees and it ain't pleasant. But it's one or two games a season. So I agree with him on the stadium. The problem is, like, where it's like, oh, well, Arlington should be in Arlington. That's prime real estate, that, and that track hasn't been very successful for a long time, like a lot of racetracks. So something needs to go there, and they've already said they're shutting it down, so it's not going to be that. And if you can shut down Hollywood Park to make a stadium for two LA teams, well, you can shut down Arlington for something else. And I'm sure there's a lot of things they could put there, because real estate up there is pretty damn full. So, but I don't know why you couldn't, if you're just going to, I mean, I get that Yankee Stadium's gone and all these places are gone. Put it where Soldier Field is. So it says Dallas is about 30 miles to Arlington. Yeah, but the difference there is you're also trying to get Fort Worth. You're drawing from both of those. Chicago, you're not, I mean, well, I guess you're drawing from Schaumburg and all these other places. Cicero.
Dallas to Arlington says from the heart of Dallas to the stadium is 20 miles, it says.
Okay. But it's like driving 50 because of the traffic.
Sure.
But you're also right there. I mean, you're drawn from Fort Worth. You're supposed to be in between those two.
You're in the... I guess if you're in the metro area, it's not that big of a deal to me. But looking at, I don't know if I consider, I'm looking at a map,
yeah,
of Arlington Heights. Boy, if we're calling that greater Chicago area, it's on the border.
So according to looking at a list from 2014, if they did move to Arlington Heights. Now, I did the 39 miles. That's from Soldier Field to Arlington Heights.
Well, okay, Soldier Field's kind of out.
Dead center downtown.
Yeah, right.
But of the top four teams right now in the NFL, this is in 2014, that their stadium is furthest away from the center of the city that they're named for. The 49ers are number one. They're 32 miles or 43 miles away.
Okay. Santa Clara.
Yep. Patriots are 28 miles outside of Boston. The Cowboys are 18 miles outside of Dallas. And the Cardinals are 17 miles outside of Phoenix.
All right. So they would be what? The Bears would be what in that list? Second?
Second, or I need to look at exactly how far downtown, like the center of downtown Chicago is to Arlington Heights. But
yeah, because I'll be honest. Every time I stayed at I went to the races at Arlington. I stayed out there, so I don't really know how far it was, because I would just,
you know, 35 miles.
Okay, because once you land, you drive for an hour, no matter what, and then you don't think about it. And then I would only go to downtown when I'm staying downtown there.
According to the Googles, it's a 1 hour train ride.
That sounds about right. From O'Hare?
No, from downtown Chicago.
Well, O'Hare is like way north Chicago too. It's like on the way to Wisconsin.
Well, but I don't like flying into Midway, because that Midway, much like Hobby, I feel like I'm going to get shot in the cab. That's a pretty nasty area over there. I think, in fact, nastier than the area Hobby's in.
Ooh, it's a bold statement, sir.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure some of our Chicago guys could back that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, from O'Hare to Arlington, it's 16 miles.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't think it was that far. So, well, that's more Bears talk than I thought we'd.
Yeah, but it's NFL talk. I'll take it.
I didn't mean to get onto that as much as I kind of felt like, you know, Ditka was making a point, a good point later on, but it's like, keep the racetrack. That thing's gone. And, you know, what you do with it now is the big question, because that is pretty good real estate out there, for what it's worth. All right, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to take part in the show, we've got I've got some good NCAA news. Actually, good and bad news.
Yeah.
It just depends on whether you're a positive person like me or a negative person like AJ.
Okay.
As to which one
I'm
it is.
Both.
Well, okay.
Depends on the day.
You might find
sometimes it, I'm like me, sometimes I'm not like me.
You might find it positive. We'll do that when we come back.
I got to tell you guys about Pro Dunk Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you go if you want to get the best basketball hoop on the entire planet. How do I know that? Because I've got one. I've got one standing up in front of my house right now. Guys, the thickest steel of any goal on the market. This thing looks like I stole it from Toyota Center, but I didn't. I just got it at ProDunkHoops.com, and it's thicker than any steel you'll find on any of the goals in the big box stores, 75% thicker, in fact. And if their backboard breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. They're just like, oh, well, we don't expect it to break or crack, so we'll replace it for free. I mean, we're not worried about it because they don't think it's going to. They're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle, so any age can play. And they've got a setup for any situation, whether you want the goal on your house, in your driveway, in your backyard, you want a fully portable version. They've got you covered on all those fronts. Check it out online. See which hoop suits you the best, and set yourself up an installation. All you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. I can't freak off breathe.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So before we get to the story I was telling you about, I have some news on your beloved Warriors.
Okay.
There's widespread speculation they could package a seventh pick and James Wiseman. Remember we were talking about forwards that might be available?
Yep.
For Pascal Siakam.
Ooh. That's interesting.
Now, Siakam's going to make more than $33 million this year and is signed through 23-24. He's also 27 years old and won a title. Be kind of an interesting fit next to Draymond.
Yeah.
So I was just curious what you thought of that.
Honestly, I prefer they keep the seventh pick. Wiseman is clearly not he sucked this year.
Yeah.
Like there's no and when they drafted him, I knew he was going to suck for at least a year. That guy was a project. Good physical tools, upside. I didn't think he was a great fit for the Warriors, but I think that he'll get better. But what the Warriors need at seven, in my opinion, is a guard who can either play with Steph or who is the heir apparent to Steph. Because what you can't count on anymore is Klay being back and healthy. Yeah. It's a luxury if you've got it, but you go from ACL to Achilles, like, you're talking about a guy who hasn't played in 2 years. Without another guard on the floor to really press things, the Warriors just aren't as good. Steph's not able to be as good. So I think I would rather keep that pick because there's viable guards there. I think there's some legit players you could get at seven that could help the Warriors right now and also set them up for the future.
Yeah, although I would just say, though, your window has got to be now still.
Sure.
And if you get a guy like that.
But do we think if they get everybody healthy next year, do we think that they're not a contender?
I mean, I think they are, but is a rookie going to have that kind of impact that you would get out of a Siakam?
That's a good question.
I mean, I don't know. I up until the Wiseman pick, I would say whoever they draft is going to be one of the best ones in the draft.
Yep.
But anyway.
And there's guys available. We've talked about Davion Mitchell, what kind of a fit he would be for the Warriors. And that's a guy who on both sides of the court could be a big upgrade for them. If they don't want to go a guard, Franz Wagner seems like a perfect fit for Golden State. He's a two-way player. He can shoot. He defends. He's almost like a... I don't know. I hate to put any real comps on these guys, but there's few players who can do both sides of the ball the way he can right now. And that would be a big upgrade for the Warriors at the three. So... And that gives you a chance to have Wiggins play guard if you need to. So I think that they can improve themselves in the draft and just be better in the future. But I wouldn't hate it if they got Siakam either. Does Siakam and Draymond on the floor at the same time seem a little repetitive?
Well, no, because Siakam is more of a scorer, and I think he can then. Draymond being the better defensive guy, I think they would pair okay together, especially with as much movement as that offense has when Steph and Klay are out there spreading the floor. I think it would work. I don't know that it will, but I kind of feel like the Warriors would figure it out because they're pretty smart.
And the Warriors also have the 14th pick in the draft. They could still get a decent player there.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that I've seen thrown around down there is Corey Kispert, yeah. Who's another guy who can go on the floor and shoot from anywhere. That suddenly maybe that is the move. Maybe you use that 17th pick and either you are the 14th pick and you either add a wing or you maybe reach and get a guy like a Cam Thomas or a Chris Duarte, a guard who you feel like you can put on the floor either with Curry or after Curry leaves. So they've got options. Siakam would certainly make them better in the front court. I mean, he's an upgrade over Wiseman, 100%.
Willie on the text line says, "Mom's from Chicago, and in my 34 years, we've never flown into Midway because of how shady it is." Okay, so I'm not imagining things. So your thoughts on tonight's game?
I don't know that anything's changing. I've seen a lot of people say they expect the Clippers to really come out and make a push tonight, but I just don't think they're as good. The Eastern Conference is going exactly the way I thought it would. Honestly, the Western Conference, I expect a huge advantage Suns as long as Kawhi is not on the floor. I just think the Clippers are a very limited team without him.
Yeah, I think the only thing that you kind of look at is since Devin Booker got bashed in the nose, he hasn't quite been as effective.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, he scored 25, but he was 8 of 22 shooting. Before that, 5 of 21. The game he got punched in the nose, 5 of 16. And he was 15 of 29 before that. So that concerns me a little bit. But, you know, that I want the Suns to win. I'm ready for a Suns-Bucks final. I'll watch it. I'll be into it. So,
you know what we haven't talked about at all today?
What's that?
The Houston Astros.
Yeah, I want to get to them.
Okay. I thought maybe you were avoiding the conversation.
No, I was going to do that next segment because I wanted to pay off on the tease since, you know, we're supposed to do that.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea. But would you agree that we basically, I mean, that you lose two out of four to the Tigers, we might as well just call it a wrap and say this season's washed. It's wasted.
Well, I would dispute that because your buddies at USA Today still have them number one in the power ranking.
Oh.
Despite two losses this week. So, yeah, I mean, it was a little surprising that the bats went cold. I think maybe A.J. Hinch just knows how to pitch against these guys.
Yeah.
Or knows what to do because...
Well, it didn't look like it the first game.
No, the first game, clearly not. You still have to have a guy go out there and do it. But...
How do you feel about seven-inning doubleheaders?
I don't like them.
I don't like it one bit. I think it's... I don't think that that's... I mean, it's weird because baseball is such a traditionalist sport. It's weird that they're even considering that. It doesn't seem like that big... I mean, to play two more innings, what's the big deal?
They've kind of... Well, it's probably an advantage for the Astros with their bullpen. But... I think once they went to the runner on second for extra innings, then I guess everything was pretty much fair game. But if you're going to do seven inning games, they'll give a guy credit for a no hitter if he gets one.
Yeah.
So, and somebody says can't win every series, especially on the road. We're spoiled. Yeah,
I was kidding.
He was being sarcastic.
That was a joke.
Yeah. I mean, I got...
Even though the Tigers do suck.
I got the sarcasm in it.
Yeah.
But did you not, Aaron? Why are you shaking your head in there?
No, I was laughing my ass off in here when he said it.
Yeah. Yeah, season's over. But can I say one nice thing? And we'll do the college football thing next segment.
Okay.
I want to say one nice thing about an Astros player.
All right.
And by the way, last 10 games... Best record in the American League, 8-2.
Would you care to guess what the what if you were a degenerate baseball bettor? What do you think the wagering line looks like on the Orioles at the Astros tonight?
Guessing the Astros are like -360,
-350.
Oh, okay.
That's an absurdly high number for a baseball game.
I think it's not as high as it was. In 19, when Verlander was pitching against the Tigers, they were like -430, and I bet the Tigers that night, and the Astros lost.
So are you betting on Thomas Eshelman over Zach Greinke tonight?
No.
Okay.
No, but that's the only way to play it.
Yeah, you can't give 350.
Yeah. But the other thing I want to say is, can you guys stop with the Miles Straw is the problem stuff now?
Miles Straw is obviously the best player in the league.
Well, he's not the best player in the league, but...
But close.
But for a guy you're asking to be your eighth best hitter, you're getting .270 with a .343 on-base percentage.
His defense has improved.
His defense is better.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
He's got 11 steals. He gives you a speed element.
Yep.
Maybe not the most clutch guy in the world, but...
I like him. I'm glad that he's gotten better because, boy, I was... One of the guys, before Miles was an everyday player, I was like, let's see what they've got. And then I saw a lot of it, and I was like, they need a real outfielder. And he's best as a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, last year wasn't good, and then he didn't start off very well this year. But he's found his stride. And, you know, I was saying earlier on, I'd like to see him get another outfielder if they make a trade. It's like, you know what? No, if you make any kind of trade, it's got to be the bullpen.
Yeah, and Miles Straw, mind you, but Miles Straw benefits greatly from playing in this lineup. Miles Straw played for the random team, if he played on the Mariners, we would not be talking about Miles Straw having a good season, because Miles Straw would probably be hitting 30 points lower. He's seeing pitches on this in this lineup that he would never see on a bad team. But
yeah, but that's, I mean, that's a benefit of not being a bad team, you know. So,
and guess what? He's batting seventh tonight.
Well, which interesting.
That's right, Bub.
But yeah, I think
he's moving on up, as they say, Fred. Yeah,
he's been. I mean, obviously, he's not as good as he's been for like the last month. But he wasn't nearly as bad as people were making him out to be earlier, where they all wanted McCormick to take his soul.
So. Here's the other. This is another thing you can bet on tonight. Actually, I don't know if you can, but you should. If you can, you should. Domingo Leyva he's playing third base and batting seventh for the Orioles tonight.
Yeah.
So here's the bet. Will Leyva have a hit tonight?
Yes.
Okay. He's 0-26 on the season.
Okay.
So he's tried and tried again.
Yeah, but you know what? If he's going to get
one. You think he's due?
If he's going to get one, it's going to be against Moonball Grinky.
Okay. 0-20. Someone's O has got to go, they say.
Yeah, I could see that. What's my number, though?
It's even money.
Oh. I don't like that. I think for 0-26, I better be getting
He's going to get four tries, probably. Yeah, three tries.
I should still get plus 150. So never mind.
All right, I got to tell you about Allstate. Allstate Windows and Sidings. You want the best rate, call Allstate. You're looking to put new windows in your home for any reason. You could be looking to sell your home. I ended up selling my home. Guess what? My windows were a huge selling point. I've got a lifetime transferable warranty that's transferring over to the new owners. They're thrilled about that. But if I were keeping it, man, I'm saving a bunch on my electric bills. They look amazing. It was just a really great investment. I bought them before I knew I was selling my house, and I was really happy with them then. And then, like I said, they just jump out at the buyers when they went in the house. They're like, oh, my God, these windows are incredible. And they really are. My wife got to customize them. The process was great. And I saved a bunch of money, saved 25% just because I'm a listener of our program here. I also got a discount for being a military vet. If you're a first responder, you get a discount there. I paid all cash up front. Got a discount for that, too. Yeah, there's discounts on discounts on discounts, guys. Why wouldn't you do it? You want the best rate? Call Allstate, 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com. Told her she the sweetest. I beat the beat up. Call herself
defense. Swear, man, I be seeing through these just like sequins. This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. The Culture Map Tastemaker Awards are back as well, celebrating the top talent in Houston's restaurant and bar communities. Join us July 22nd at Silver Street Studios for our signature in-person tasting event and awards ceremony. Come celebrate all the nominees, like Restaurant of the Year, Bar of the Year, Best Neighborhood Restaurant, and more. We'll unveil the 2021 winners, and you'll sample bites and sip specialty drinks along the way. Get your VIP and GA tickets now at Houston.com, CultureMapTastemakers.com. So, there you have it. Okay, so I told you something that I think's a positive. I don't know if you'll think it's a negative or not. We know that EA Sports is bringing back the NCAA football game, right? That's official?
Yeah.
So that's good news. Bad news is it's not going to be till 2023.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So apparently they have to go through and get agreements with everybody. But what royalties the schools are going to get and all that. So it's going to be 2023 before we have it back. That's positive. In that, well, it's negative for me, and then I don't think I'm going to live that long, but at least we're going to get it. So I'm kind of disappointed.
Might not even play video games by 2023. I don't know.
I might be too old to be sitting there going, my hands are shaking. I can't do it.
You see on TV it says, don't sleep on Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in basketball who's either the greatest player in the league or the worst player in the league on any given night more than Chris Middleton?
Yeah.
Like Kendrick Perkins today was like, I've been telling y'all, Chris Middleton's the Batman and Giannis is the Robin. Like a week ago, Chris Middleton was like 0 for 12.
Shame.
And he was the reason they like, we can't have it both ways. Like Chris Middleton is, he's a good player and he's going to have bad nights. Last night he had a really good night. But let's not act like all of a sudden he's the two-time MVP on this team.
But that's, I mean, that's everything. And this is why it's so hard to take people seriously when you react to every single game, whether a guy's great or he's not. I mean, he's inconsistent, you know? But he's not Batman, come on. And that's what drives me nuts about some of the takes out there. You know, I'm coming around on Rachel Nichols.
As a reporter?
No.
Oh.
But as a redhead? Yes. So.
That's not what she's here for.
I mean, but I see I'm watching without the sound, so guess what I care about?
You're late to the party.
Can we stop with the don't sleep on phrase? Is that another phrase I'd like to retire along with the rent free in somebody's head? Look, can we just don't sleep on this? Okay. What does that really mean? So if you say don't sleep on Chris Middleton, am I supposed to go to his home and not lie down on top of him?
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that what Ryan Russillo got in trouble for?
Yeah. See, you can go to jail for that or lose your job with ESPN. I'd rather not do that. I mean, unless you're telling me not to do that when you say don't sleep, which is okay, fine. But then that would imply that I'd actually thought about it in the first place. So, yeah, that's one and score the basketball. Those are the two.
He's very good at scoring the basketball.
Yeah. The Russian judge gave it a 3, though. So there's that.
There's no other sport where they say score the football or score the baseball. Do they say scoring the puck?
Not really.
Yeah. I don't know why that's a thing with basketball.
You guys hate saying on the bump.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
I don't like that either.
I'll tell you who is a fan of that. Patrick Creighton, who'll be up at 7 o'clock. I've heard Creighton say that a few times. He's a fan of it. I am not. And game one of the Stanley Cup tonight, no bets for me because I think Tampa's going to eat their souls.
Dude, I saw the betting odds on that.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you supposed to? That's another one of those. It's like the Astros game. Like, how are you supposed to make money betting that?
I think the only play that I would consider is the over.
It's minus 175 in a finals game?
Yeah, it's...
What's the series? Like minus 320 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Jeez.
And the only thing I'll say, if you wanted to go the other way, that, you know, they weren't supposed to beat Toronto. They're not nearly as talented as them. They weren't supposed to beat the Knights. They're not nearly as talented as them. And guess what? They're not supposed to beat Tampa. They're not in the same ballpark with them talent-wise.
So here's my question. So the Canadiens were the worst team that came out of their... Like, they were the last team in their little region, right?
Right.
Were the Lightning the best team out of theirs?
I think they might have been... I think so. They might have been two. But they also were missing the best one of their best scores in the league all year.
So this was the biggest mismatch you could have made, probably.
Yeah, for a final.
It's crazy.
But you know what? Again,
crazier things have happened. In hockey, I think it's more likely to happen in hockey than it is in basketball. But
yeah, because a great equalizer is
a goalie.
And Carey Price, I'd love to see him win a cup because he's been one of the best goalies on the planet for a long time, and they've never won. But, you know, the guy in net for the Lightning's pretty damn good, too, and he's already won one. I never thought these words would ever come out of my mouth. I'd like to see Montreal win it. Because as a Leafs fan, I just despise it. But now I don't despise anybody anymore because I'm all about, you know, being nice and friendly. But, you know, Tampa won it last year. And, you know, I'd love to see Montreal win because it would make a lot of people in Canada happy. So
The Canadiens were the 4 seed coming out of the North because the way they broke it up was north, west, east, and central.
Yeah, and they were, I don't know how many points behind Toronto, but – their total would not have gotten them in the West. There were teams that didn't make the playoffs that had more points.
And the Lightning were the third seed in the Central.
Okay.
So it wasn't that far off.
Yeah, but the,
unless you're looking at points.
But the Lightning were also the third seed because Nikita Kucherov didn't play all year. And then they get him back for the playoffs. And now you've got the same team that won the Stanley Cup. And they made some trades, which they did last year as well. So there's a pretty big difference. But Montreal's playing better than is playing their best hockey right now. So and there's something about that uniform when you put it on that there's something magical about it. All I know is it can come back and beat Leafs down 3-1. So did you see this? Not that I would ever care about the Tour de France, but you see this crash they had
where the lady's like holding a sign.
Yeah. And
shame.
Apparently, the police are looking for it. The worst wreck in Tour history. And man, there were some bloodied, messed up dudes, man. But so apparently the Spectator is on the run.
Damn.
Which. But she was held up a cardboard sign in front of riders that read "Aleo Pio Mi," which is a hello message to her grandparents. She did not pull the sign away in time, and German cyclist Tony Martin could not avoid a collision. And of course, these guys are all right on top of each other, so it's like Talladega and NASCAR. It's just like the big.
Oh yeah, and like running over actual bodies.
Yeah,
wild.
Yeah.
I had a couple things I wanted to get to before our show ends.
Sure.
One was there one of the guys who fought this weekend. His name's Justin Janes. He had $25,000 was his purse, his show purse.
Yeah.
And you know how it works. You get $25K to show and you get $25K if you win. Well, he said, I'm going for the big swing here. He was a +140 dog. Bet his entire fight purse on himself.
Kind of like that.
He lost.
Oh.
Lost a split decision.
Oh.
Now, he's a guy, and he says he's, you know, it's not the kind of money that he's not going to be able to take care of his family or something like that.
Right.
But
I like the balls on him.
Of course, he wants to get it back. He says, didn't feel great, but it's not going to put me in a position where I can't take care of myself. I'm super bummed about the outcome, but I fight for a living. It's MMA. There's been worse decisions. There's been better decisions. It is what it is, and we're on to the next. F it. Let's run it back. Double or nothing. I need to get my money back anyways, man. It's just one of those things. Like I said, I trained very, very hard. It was my motivation. There was a lot going on the line into this fight. So he wants to do it again. He says, I really don't have any regrets, man. I live a high-risk, high-reward kind of lifestyle. Mm. All right. Well,
I admire that.
Yeah. But he lost. I mean, it wasn't like the fact that it was a split decision was almost surprising to me. I thought it was clear 29-28, but not fun when you and you still got to pay your coaches. You still got to pay all these people. Bills still come due. You mentioned last week that the Oilers had some gay players, so the it wasn't like a big deal what Carl Nassib was doing. Well. Bruce Smith.
That's misrepresenting now. That's not what I said. It's not a big deal.
You were saying that he wasn't the first gay player.
Yeah, like, and that there had also been those that were known. They just didn't come out publicly.
Right. Well, Bruce Smith says sort of the same thing you said about the Buffalo Bills, the team that went to 4 straight Super Bowls in the 90s. He says that we had a gay player in our locker room. I think it was the mid to late 90s. I think we might have had 2, but that wasn't what we focused on. We were focused on winning games and each and every person that was in that locker room contributing to the goal at hand, which was winning football games. None of that other stuff mattered. This was about winning football games and trying to be a good person. But he says he thinks that Nassib's decision to come out will have a tremendous impact. He says, obviously, we like to see the inclusion part. We like to see folks that understand the world is changing, and you have to embrace those that may be a little bit different, and that's okay. Judge me by my character. Judge me by the way I treat people. If we show a little bit more love and compassion in the world, this will be a much better place. And he says that the notion that older players won't accept a gay teammate is just wrong. He doesn't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
I don't either. Honestly, trying to win football games, you can't worry about that.
And listen, I was around the Oilers then, not every team in the league. But I can almost assure you that every team in the league had a situation like that where they had a player they knew was gay and they didn't care. The guy could play.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, but it's up to those guys to say whether or not they want people to know that. And to this day, I don't think the player, well, there was more than one, by the way, but the main one, I don't think ever wanted people to know. So that being the case, ain't my place to say it. All right. We're going to take a final break. Come back with a little dumbass report. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Guys, if you're looking to play fantasy football again this year, but you don't have all the time to keep up with it, well, Underdog Fantasy is right for you, guys. The easy-to-play format, no waivers, no trades. You just draft. Best ball format, you set it and forget it. You draft 18 players, and you get the highest possible score in your lineup each week. So you don't have to worry about your best player being on the bench one week, or you had the wrong guy in. It doesn't matter. You're going to get the points. If a guy gets hurt, oh, well, you got another guy. He'll get you your points. No big deal. And here's the great thing. They've got their Best Ball Mania tournament, the largest tournament in fantasy football, $25 to enter. First prize, $1 million, $3.5 million in total prizes. And here's the deal. When you deposit now at underdogfantasy.com or you download the mobile app, and use the promo code radio, you'll get a free $25 cash with your first deposit. So that pays for the best ball entry right there. Sign up today with promo code radio. Make your first deposit to receive a free $25 in cash. Download the app to start playing. Don't forget to enter promo code radio at sign up. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Last segment of the day. And on a Monday, that means A.J. Hoffman's legendary dumbass report.
Well, everyone asked about the song. The Gym of the Day song?
Yeah.
Will the dumbass report go on after I'm gone?
You know, I don't know. And all I know is it just depends on who's in here. If it's a similar type of show, we'll keep some of the same stuff. And if it's a totally different show, no, we won't. And I have no idea where anything is going right now. So I can't answer that. And I'm not being evasive. I'm being completely honest. I've had no conversations, so I don't know.
Okay.
I'm open to anything within reason. With a few exceptions.
Anal, you're out on, right?
Yeah, well, it depends on who
Skip
it is.
Skip Bayless.
That might actually be kind of fun. Because I would bleep with Skip so much. I would make his head explode.
Hey, are you in like the 23andMe or what are those? What's the other one? The other big one? Like where you send in your like a DNA swab and you find out who all your relatives are?
Oh, God, no. I want no part of that.
Well,
I don't want my DNA out there. I watch enough Law and Order to know somebody could plant DNA in a murder scene, and yeah, and I get to go to prison for something I had nothing to do with.
Well, there's a man in Tampa, Florida, who he entered his DNA into a genealogy database to see who his family was, and the police said, "Well, your new family's in prison because you're wanted for rape." And now he is
dumbass.
Going to prison 14 years after a sexual assault that he committed in Tampa. I guess maybe he just forgot.
If you're a turd, it's going to come back to you.
Police reports say the rape took place back in 2007 when a University of Tampa student was walking back to her dorm after attending the Gasparilla Pirate Festival. She told detectives she was intoxicated, may have been stumbling around when the suspect, Jared Vaughn, offered to walk her to her dorm room where he proceeded to rape her. DNA evidence was collected at the time, but they didn't have any matches, and the case remained unsolved for more than a decade. However, in 2020, detectives revisited the case and began searching genealogy testing databases.
There you go. That's why you don't do this.
And a lab identified Vaughn, now 44, as the suspect. So police officers traveled to West Virginia, where he now lives. to conduct another DNA test, which brought a 1 in 700 billion match. I'm guessing like his new family is probably upset by this news. That seems like, A, don't rape.
Yeah, start with that.
And B, like if you, let's say you did in your younger days rape, maybe don't give your DNA to the websites. I don't know.
Well, and let's say you didn't rape. Don't give your DNA to the websites anyway, because what's going to stop them from putting your DNA on a crime scene?
That's true.
Especially if they're out to get you.
And you, as you know, they are out to get you.
Yes.
Do you have a fear of being buried alive?
Used to, you know, and that's why that scene in Kill Bill kind of bothered the hell out of me. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd probably just run out of air and go to sleep, so it wouldn't be that big a deal.
Well, apparently they are now designing safety coffins. Just in case. There's so many people that are like that are scared to be buried alive that they have safety coffins that have battery-powered alarms, spring-loaded rods, and all, I mean, basically ways to get them out if they happen to be buried alive. There's been cases of people requesting to be buried with their mobile phones just in case. But they are genuinely so scared they construct safety coffins, which have included glass lids, ropes attached to bells, and breathing pipes. That's how people are going to be buried now. Like, people are paying. Coffins are already, like, you've got to pay for it. And,
So I think I'm going to go the cremation route.
That's exactly the way I'm going.
I think I'm going to do that and spread my ashes over the eighth pole at Sam Houston where all my horses died.
But I'm worried about being cremated alive. That's the scary thing.
I feel
thing.
Like you would wake up once you start feeling a lot of that heat. I mean, you might have some scarring.
I feel like I'll be all the way burned, and then I'll be like, wait, I'm still alive. I'll just be a pile of ashes talking to them.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't think it works that way.
Maybe not. This is kind of a sad story. This is another story of a cop who's under investigation for shooting a teen driver. A police officer in Rhode Island shot an unarmed teen while driving Wednesday evening, has been placed on administrative leave. A surveillance camera in the parking lot of Wicked Good Pizza in West Greenwich revealed some of what had happened. He fired at a car carrying three teenagers. The footage is rough. It shows a black Audi sedan being driven by an 18-year-old male driver slowly pull into the pizza parking lot with a white pickup truck in close pursuit. He points the gun at the car, fires. He's off duty. He's in his personal
dumbass
vehicle. Yeah, so he's been on administrative leave, and apparently there's the police are, you know, police will normally say like, hey, it's justified. They're just like, I don't know what this guy was thinking. This is not the move. Not the move to pull when you're off duty. Cut somebody off in your personal vehicle and then shoot them. Not wise, guys. And finally, a man's been arrested in Mexico. He's been wanted for 14 years. And
DNA rape?
No, not a DNA rape. It was actually a DUI. Apparently, he's been on the run for 14 years. And They said, well, we've got him. Wrong guy. He's not the guy. There are two guys named Ernest McBride with similar physical characteristics, but the fingerprint comparisons prove that the man taken into custody was the wrong Ernest McBride. He had a suspended license and a .315, nearly four times the legal limit, but he wasn't the guy they were looking for.
Isn't there a statute of limitations on that anyway?
No, that's what he was arrested for. He was wanted in the United States for some other crime, like a real crime. And they arrested him in Mexico and extradited him to the U.S.
Ah.
And then they were like, well, thanks, but wrong guy.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ.
Great job, Fred.
That was okay.
You know, you were great.
It's my new...
You were great.
It's my new be nice to everybody attitude. And even the textures were great today. So were the Twitchers. Till tomorrow. Stay sportsy, wonderful bitches.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.